As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your programs and pull out the yellow sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas. There's a spot where you can jot those down. And then at the end, I'd love to hear what God's saying to you, how God's calling you to respond so that we can pray for you and support you in the journey. As you get those ready, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. We're in a series called Vital Signs, and I couldn't believe it. I took my family to the Adler Planetarium this past week. We went inside an exhibit for the Gemini space missions, and there was the machine that checked the astronauts' vital signs. Couldn't believe it. The machine checked their heart rate, their respiratory rate, their temperature. It's important to check our vital signs. In this series, we're checking our spiritual vital signs, those key functions that lead to spiritual health in our lives and in our church. Now, I don't know if there's a vital sign that's more important than the others when it comes to our body, but I think today's vital sign is the most important spiritual vital sign. So without this vital sign, you might think Christianity is just about a religion with more things to do. This vital sign reminds us that Christianity is about a relationship with someone very special, and everything else flows out of that relationship. Our vital sign for today is abide. And the good news is that Jesus wants to abide with you. Jesus wants to have a close, personal, ongoing relationship with you. In the gospel reading, Jesus describes the spiritual health benefits that come from abiding in him and offers a prescription for how we can abide. Our gospel reading is from John's gospel. And John truly understood and embraced the good news that Jesus wants to abide with us. A unique feature of John's gospel is that he never once mentions his name. As one of Jesus' 12 disciples, John features prominently in the gospel, but he never once says his name is John. Does anybody know what he calls himself in the gospel? The one who Jesus loves. Isn't that neat? I mean, John knew that Jesus loved him and wanted to have a relationship with him. He embraced this good news and leaned into the relationship. Literally. Back in that time, when people had dinner, they would recline on their sides at the table. It looked kind of like that. And during the Last Supper with Jesus' disciples, John tells us he leaned his head on Jesus. And that's just the kind of relationship they had. And John had such a life-giving, life-transforming relationship with Jesus that he wrote his gospel so that other people could experience a relationship with Jesus too. And toward that end, John recorded 7 I am statements that Jesus made. We heard the final one in our gospel reading. And it's all about having a close, personal, ongoing relationship with Jesus. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, the people that Jesus was speaking to lived in an area where many grapevines grew, and many people worked by tending grapevines. I didn't think that was so much the case for us. I'm just curious, does anybody have a grapevine? Just check. You do? Really? That's awesome. So there's one out of all of us. And so I don't have a grapevine. And I was wrestling this week with how to understand and communicate this metaphor. And as I was praying, God brought to mind a modern metaphor. Do any of you have one of these in your house? Okay. So cell phones need electricity. It's their source of life. And apart from their connection, a cell phone slowly dies. And once a cell phone loses its charge, you can't do anything with it. A while back, I had a phone that just automatically updated. And after that, it could not receive a charge for some reason. And it just slowly died until I couldn't use it anymore. We've dealt with the need to charge our cell phones in two ways. First, we built bigger chargers that can decrease the time that our phones need to charge. Also, we've developed stronger batteries that increases the length of time we can go without charging up. And God spoke to me through this metaphor. And I felt like God was saying, you need Jesus. Like cell phones need electricity. He is your source. Apart from Jesus, we cut ourselves off from God's power. And we're not able to do anything of spiritual or lasting value. And sometimes we deal with our need for Jesus kind of like we deal with the need to charge cell phones. We might try to decrease the amount of time we spend with Jesus on a daily basis, or increase the length of time that we try to go without connecting. And no wonder we so often feel drained, empty, worn out, lifeless. And Jesus calls all the wayward cell phones, all the wayward branches, all the wayward people. And he says, abide in me. This word is mentioned 11 times in our reading. Do you think Jesus was trying to get a point across? The word abide comes from the Greek word meno. It literally means to remain, not to depart, continue to be present. Using the cell phone analogy, Jesus is inviting us to remain plugged in to him. But it also means to be held and kept continually. I love that. Abiding in Jesus is to have him hold you and keep you continually. And the good news is that Jesus wants to abide with you. That he wants to have a close, personal, ongoing relationship with you. You don't look impressed enough. That should boggle your mind. So a while back, I was praying that God would bring a mentor into my life. And one day, a book appeared in my mailbox. Don't know how it got there. It was a book on Christian leadership. So I opened it up and I read it. And the author is a mentor and a coach. And throughout the book, the author continually invites the readers to reach out. Now, this guy is the author of many books. He's the head of many successful business companies. And I thought my chances of actually communicating with him is probably slim to none. Nevertheless, I took a chance, sent an email. To my surprise, he wrote back, and he said he wanted to meet with me. Now, we live in different states, so we ended up connecting online. And during our conversation, he said he'd be more than happy to mentor me. He said that normally, he charges his clients $20,000 for 6 months. So I was about to politely say, no, thank you, and hang up, when he said, but I have a heart for pastors, and I would like to mentor you for free. And he has. Ever since then, we've met regularly to discuss goals, to track progress. Next month, he's coming into town, and he wants to meet up with me. My mind is still boggled that this man wants to have a relationship with me. And that is nothing compared to Jesus. Jesus was no ordinary man. In the Old Testament, when Moses asked what God's name was, do you remember what God replied? He said, I am. By referring to himself as I am, Jesus was revealing his divine nature. That he was part of the Holy Trinity that created the universe and set every star and planet and person in motion. At the planetarium this week, my family got a 3D tour of the entire universe. And whoa, It is so huge and amazing. And it boggles my mind to think the God of the universe, that same God that made all of that, wants to abide with me and abide with you. That God actually chooses you and calls you friend and wants to have a close personal relationship with you. In fact, this God wants that relationship so much that Jesus actually came down to you and offers this as a free gift. That's what we're celebrating today with our Claimed by God celebration of baptism. In baptism, we celebrate the free gift that Jesus offers to us. That Jesus loves us so much that he came down, took on human form to bring people back to God. It was on the cross that Jesus took the punishment for our wrongs. And he defeated death when he rose from the grave. This was particularly significant to John because John was the only disciple there at the cross. And he was the first one to see the empty tomb. And Jesus says, when we turn to him and ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he offers us the free gift of washing away our sin and shame and everything else that could separate us from God, of freely pouring out his Holy Spirit into our lives, giving us the free gifts of forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. And this gift is not just a ticket into heaven, but an invitation to live a brand new life with God right here and right now. Jesus said, I am the vine. He's the I am. He's not the God who was or the God who will be, but the God who's right here with us right now. And that language of vines was used in the Old Testament to talk about the nation of Israel, except they were always falling short and failing to produce good fruit. And Jesus says, in contrast, I'm the true vine. I'm your source. Whatever you need, I am. Do you need provision? I am the bread of life. Do you need direction? I am the good shepherd. Do you need to be set free? I am the gate. Do you need clarity? I am the light of the world. Do you need a way forward? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you need hope? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you get a sense of how incredible this relationship is? Jesus describes some of the spiritual health benefits that come through abiding in him. I'll briefly mention four. The first is love. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. We can be hurt by people in this life, maybe even people who claim to love us. Jesus offers us a real love, a perfect love, a love that he demonstrated when he laid down his life to save us. And it's the love of Jesus that can heal our hurts and that can change the way we see ourselves. So like John, we can see, I'm the one that Jesus loves. The second spiritual benefit is joy. Jesus said, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy is greater than happiness. Happiness is like a thermometer. It goes up and down depending on what's happening around it. Joy, on the other hand, is more like a thermostat. That no matter what is going on around you, joy is a force that affects everything else with confidence, gratitude, hope. I've witnessed this kind of joy in a young single mom from our church who has children with special needs and now is battling cancer. While she's been very open and honest about her struggles, somehow by the grace of God, she continues to radiate praise and encouragement to other people. Just this abiding joy from within her. The third spiritual health benefit is answered prayer. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Oh, sorry, the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. We experience answered prayer, not because God favors us or because we can manipulate God, but as we abide, we learn how to pray in accordance with Jesus' name and his will and his work. We also learn how to better discern God's answers to our prayer. Sometimes God answers yes, sometimes no, sometimes not yet. And then the fourth benefit is fruitfulness. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The fruit he means here is exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, God's characters, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I was reading, I realized I often try to produce these fruits in my life. That's about as silly as a branch trying to produce fruit apart from the vine. Jesus doesn't say produce fruit. He says abide in me and the fruit will come. See, the fruit flows from our relationship with Jesus. Okay, quick vital sign check. How are your levels of love, joy, answered prayer, fruitfulness? If your levels are low, it may be a sign that you've disconnected and are drifting apart from Jesus. And so Dr. Jesus gives us a prescription for how we can abide with him. He gives us four steps that we can all take. We'll go through those together. Step one is abide in Jesus. In this step, we admit our need for Jesus, and we turn to him as our source. This requires letting go of some of our pride and ego, because I think we'd like to think that, you know, we can make it on our own. We can do just fine apart from Jesus. But the truth is, we desperately need Jesus. We need his grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his truth. We need his power. We need his hope. And abiding starts with turning to Jesus as our source, asking Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. And that's what claimed by God is all about. If you've never been baptized before, it's a chance to turn to Jesus, ask him to be your Savior, ask him to wash away your sin and shame and everything else that gets in the way of your relationship with God, to ask him to pour out his Holy Spirit into your life, to give you his free gifts of forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. From that day forward, to say, like John, I'm the one that Jesus loves. And if you've been baptized before, it's a chance to come back to the waters, to celebrate the gift, to feel it, to remember that you too have been claimed by God. And turning to Jesus is not just a one-time event. It's a daily habit. Recently, I was taking a walk with my family. My daughter fell and skinned her knee really bad. And from her tears, she said, Daddy, can you at least pray for me? And I love that. She knew instinctively to turn to Jesus first. Where do you turn first? I was a little convicted as I was studying and preparing for this message that sometimes when I'm feeling stressed, or when I'm feeling down, the first place I turn is to food. Where do you turn? Do you turn to food, or a drink, or a drug, or a TV, or a phone, or a website? I promise you, those things will never be able to meet our deepest needs like Jesus can. Turn to him first. Abide in Jesus. The next two steps are practical ways that we can do this. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. A second way to abide in Jesus is to allow his words to abide in us. We find the words of Jesus in Scripture. And for some, Scripture can seem intimidating or hard to understand. But nowadays, we have so many resources that can help us. There are wonderful study Bibles that translate Scripture into modern language and give helpful tips for how to understand and apply what we're reading. I have a few great suggestions that are free I'd love to send you if you just jot me a note on your response card. And it's as we spend time reading, reflecting, memorizing God's word, that God can do the pruning work that Jesus talks about in John 15. In ancient times, there was two ways that you could prune a grapevine. One way was to lift up a grapevine that had fallen to the ground so that it could better grow. In Jesus' teaching, he encourages those who have fallen down and lifts us back up again. A second way that you can prune is to remove the unhealthy parts. All of us, I think, have unhealthy parts that need work on. John, the author of the gospel, he was once nicknamed a son of thunder because of his fiery temper. And often, Jesus, through his teaching, he will challenge some of the unhealthy habits in our life. Habits like anger, negativity, complaining, laziness, lust, unforgiveness, greed, jealousy, pride, wastefulness. And this process can be painful at times, kind of like it hurts when the doctors remove skin cancer from my skin. But that's how God makes us healthier. And the more time we spend in his word, the more he can fill us with his truth and shape us in his image. We can also have some fun with this step. I have a friend who every morning she'll take a verse from her reading and turn it into a painting that symbolizes what that meant for her. I sometimes like to take scripture verses and put it to music or listen to music that's filled with scripture. If you're an auditory learner, you might listen to the Bible on a headset while you're walking or while you're driving. It's also a lot of fun to study scripture with other people in a small group. Be creative. Have fun with this step. Step three is abide in prayer. A relationship involves two-way communication. And prayer is simply listening and talking to God. There's no right or wrong way to pray. For some, prayer can feel awkward, like a one-way conversation. And so a helpful practice that I've learned is praying scripture. I lead a prayer group at the police department on Wednesdays at noon. We pray for the community. We pray for our first responders. And what we'll do is we'll take a passage of scripture and we'll read it together. And first we'll listen to what God might be saying to us through the scripture. And then we'll talk back to God and simply say what stood out to us or what's on our heart. And this has been a really meaningful way to grow in prayer. If you're available this Wednesday at noon, we're gathering together. We'd love to have you join us and be a part of that. But the key for both scripture and prayer to have that consistency in our life is to schedule a regular time to do it. And for me, I start every morning reading scripture and praying. I set alarms on my phone to go off throughout the day that remind me to stop, take a breath, pray, reconnect with God. Following an example that I heard from a British evangelist named Smith Wigglesworth, fantastic name, he said, I never pray more than 30 minutes at a time, but I try not to go more than 30 minutes at a time without praying. Abide in scripture, abide in prayer. And then finally, abide in love. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We most closely abide with Jesus when we allow his selfless, sacrificial love to flow through us. You see, Jesus wants to have a relationship with everybody, and often he extends that invitation through our love. I was talking with one of our young adults who's being baptized. She grew up in a really difficult home where she didn't feel loved or feel lovable. And it was only through the love of our young adult ministry that she came to know the love of Jesus. She was telling me how they loved her. They kept inviting her to come out to events over and over, even though she kept rejecting them and turning them down. They treated her with kindness and compassion. They were there for her in times of need. They became a family around her when she didn't have one. And it was through their love that she came to believe in the love of Jesus. And now she's choosing to abide in Jesus, in scripture, in prayer, and love as she serves with the young adult ministry. Jesus calls us to love others like he loves us. There's a neat opportunity. This Wednesday is Thank an Officer Day. Officers do so much for us, risk so much. It's a chance to give back. And so our chaplain team and our prayer group are organizing a collection of notes and treats so that we can overwhelm our officers with the love of Jesus. If you want to participate, I just need to get your note or your treat before Wednesday. But the bigger question is how can you love? Who in your sphere needs the love of Jesus? How can you love them with his selfless, sacrificial love? You never know. Your love may be the open door for them to experience the love of Jesus. I think abide is the most important spiritual vital sign because it reminds us that this is all about a relationship. Jesus, the great I am, wants to abide with you. The benefits are love, joy, answered prayer, fruitfulness. And so this week, let's take steps to abide in Jesus, in scripture, in prayer, and in love. The bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I invite you to take some time to prayerfully consider how Jesus might be calling you to respond to this message. Think about maybe one thing that stood out to you and one action item that you can apply this week. If you put your name and email, I promise I'll pray for you and write to you. You can also fill this out using your phone by just scanning the code at the top. Take some time with God, and then I'll close us in prayer.